right term here. I've been penetrated by a total and utter wuss. Who am I going to run back to when I'm ready for my fill? Manly McCardon, that's who. Subsection, sex. It's finally reached that point with a woman. Time to have sex. This section will cover the basics in both being good in the sack and giving her a pleasant experience so that she'll come back for more. Once you've got some clothes off and you're both on the bed, couch, bathroom floor, or wherever you plan on doing the dirty, you've now entered the realm of foreplay. Sadly, men overlook foreplay because we're just too damn excited about getting our dicks wet. The more foreplay, the hotter your woman's going to be, and the better sex she's going to have, and the more likely she'll want to see you again. Good place to start is by sucking and massaging her bare breast. Some girls who like it rougher like it when you gently bite on their nipples, but be careful. Not every girl's into that. From there, you should at least finger her or rub her clitoris. Again, this book's not going to get technical with how to do that, but there are other books that go into that. See the further reading section. If you enjoy giving girls oral sex, this is an excellent time to do that as well. If you give good oral sex, most girls won't be able to resist the urge to have sex then and there. Some will even grab you and make you do it. The most important thing to keep in mind about foreplay is the concept of teasing and or expectation. As you do the things talked about above, don't just rush into them and devour them. That can be cool sometimes, but in general, you want to take things slow, create a drawn-out and sensual experience. Girls love to be teased. For instance, instead of just shoving your finger inside her and going at it, try lightly touching her pussy with your fingertips for a few seconds. She'll go crazy and want you inside her more than ever. Instead of just giving her oral sex, start slowly by kissing the inside of her thighs, inching closer and closer. Create expectation. Make her yearn for whatever you're about to do to her. Stuff like this drives girls crazy and makes them incredibly horny. If you do this well and repeatedly, you often get girls pushing you down and forcing you to have sex. The expectation is too much. They have to have it, so they end up taking it from you. When it comes to sex, more important than any physical technique, some cool angle, position, or whatever, is being dominant. Sexual gratification for women is far more psychological than it is physical, whereas for men it's mostly physical. A large component of this psychological satisfaction comes from being dominated and surrendering control. Women like to feel like you have the power and the control in the bedroom. They want you to be assertive and strong with what you want. So how do you become dominant in bed? 1. Be loud. Make noise. Grunt. Breathe hard. Women love this because it makes them feel like they can be loud. And when they're loud, they get off easier and more often. 2. Talk dirty. Tell her how sexy she is. Tell her what you're going to do to her before you do it. Call her a dirty girl and a horny slut. This may be outside of your comfort zone, but realize that in the bedroom, the rules change and logic goes out the window. 3. Get physical. Spank her. Pull her hair. Hold her down with one hand. When you change positions, literally pick her up and move her yourself. 4. Don't ever ask, is this okay? Do you want to do X? Just do it and apologize later if she doesn't like it. Nothing turns a girl off faster than a guy who defers to her while having sex. Take control. Do what turns you on and that will then turn her on. The most important habit to develop, by far, is to talk and be loud in the bedroom. There has to be an open form of communication when you sleep with a girl, especially the first few times you're together. Sex is always somewhat awkward the first time you're with a new person. Everybody engages in different practices, habits, and prefers different things. It takes a while to learn each other's tendencies and to adapt to one another's likes and dislikes. This requires you to have a sense of humor in the bedroom. Goofy and weird moments are going to happen in the sack, and most people are at their most insecure when they're naked and lying under someone else that they just met a week ago. Have a sense of humor. Be understanding. Relax. One of my favorite jokes in the bedroom when stuff goes awry is, I say, they make it look so easy in the movies. If you can get a girl to crack up, she'll forget she's naked, forget she's in a strange position, and forget that you just screwed up, and just be with you, laughing with you. Also, be honest. If you don't like the way she gives a blowjob, tell her, and then tell her how you do like it. But also, be honest with the compliments. Tell her that she's beautiful naked. Tell her how you love how she rides you. Tell her that she looks sexy in that position. Be open and honest. Communicate. The most important factor to good sex is how comfortable the two people are around each other. A lot of men feel anxious around sexuality and actually get nervous once they know they're going to have it. But if you bring up sexual anxiety, almost every guy will laugh and say, "Must suck for that guy," as if they don't have it. The rotten truth is that most of us have some form of it or another. There are a variety of causes for sexual anxiety, but the most common are inexperience, strict religious and or cultural upbringing, negative past sexual experiences, past emotional traumas, low self-esteem. Ultimately, the causes of sexual anxiety are directly related to other forms of anxiety, neediness, and fear of vulnerability. There are two symptoms, and you either have one or the other. You either come way too fast, less than 10 minutes, or you either can't get it up, can't get hard, or you can't keep it hard. But that doesn't make sense. How can two completely opposite phenomena be caused by the same thing? It's basically a permutation of the fight or flight response. The idea is that you become nervous and adrenaline is released. Your body wants to get itself into a protected and safe position as soon as possible. One way to do that is to ejaculate immediately. The other is to just not get hard. Either way, these problems suck. I'm not sure which one's worse, but we have ways to combat this problem. If you finish way too quickly, try finding a thicker condom. They actually make condoms now that purposely numb your penis so that you can last longer. Try masturbating for a few hours before you expect to have sex. If you have trouble getting it up or keeping it up, get pills. Seriously, there are herbal supplements that you can buy over the counter that act similarly to Viagra. They make you hard as an ox and able to go multiple times. Take a couple before you get intimate with a girl, and you shouldn't have any problems keeping it at attention. But these remedies are merely band-aid solutions for a larger problem. The larger problem is not being completely comfortable with your sexuality and having sex. It's once again a vulnerability issue. This problem reaches much deeper and lurks within our subconscious. The most obvious solution is to simply have as much sex as possible. This works. Getting a steady girlfriend is the best way to do this. Unfortunately, though, if you want to stay single, this will take a lot of time and effort, and you'll have to deal with a lot of demoralizing failures. Try taking it slow with the girl once you know you're going to have sex with her. Think of it as having to make yourself more secure and comfortable around her until you're able to have sex. I know it sounds lame, but it's true. Slow things down, enjoy the foreplay more, and don't pressure yourself to get to it until you're good and ready. Practice closing your eyes and relaxing when you know you'll be having sex with her. If you have trouble getting too excited, think about something non-sexual like baseball or video games. If you have trouble getting it up, relax and just look at her and think about how sexy she is. If you feel that you have some sort of emotional trauma in your past or were raised in a seriously sexually repressed environment, consider seeking counseling or therapy. Regardless, once you've reached this point, you've reached the point of maximum vulnerability with one person. Typically, women become more highly invested after sex, and men become less invested after sex. The power dynamic in most couples will switch at this point. The power of choice that women had, whether to have sex or not, now usually switches over to the man, of whether to commit or not. If this power dynamic does not switch, it's usually a sign of neediness in the man, and the attraction will not last. Vulnerability need not be confused with commitment or attachment. It's still possible to experience an intense and powerful emotional connection with a woman and never desire a long-term commitment with one another. But such emotional connections, no matter how powerful and intoxicating, are fickle and akin to a drug. True, long-lasting emotional connection can only come through submitting to long-term commitment. But that is a topic beyond the scope of this book. I'd just like to point out before we jump to the epilogue that there is a action plan in the PDF version of the book, which I'm not going to go through on here because it lists a bunch of different tasks and goals that you can set for yourself. If you're interested in that kind of thing, I encourage you to take a look at it. It is on page 353 of the book. Epilogue. What if it was a gift? Over the course of the previous 350 pages, we've discovered that attraction flows from women perceiving a lack of neediness and a sense of security in men. This lack of neediness and security arises from having a stronger identity and investment in oneself than in the perceptions of others. This subcommunicates that as a man, you're dependable, confident, and high status, or likely to become high status. The way to cultivate a higher investment in oneself, the way to become less needy, it's actually counterintuitive. We learn that showing vulnerability, both in emotion and action, actually leads to a higher investment in oneself and diminishes neediness. This newfound lack of neediness then allows you to express yourself more clearly and directly. When you express yourself more clearly and directly, you polarize the reactions of women, opening yourself up to more rejection, but also attracting other women stronger than ever before. The women you attract occurs through a process of self-selection. The rate at which you attract them happens through a process of overcoming fear. and the consistency in which you seduce those women attracted happens through a process of expressing your sexuality. These are the three fundamentals. Presented in these pages are all the tools I can ever imagine a man ever needing to renovate himself and becoming more successful with women. Undoubtedly for you, it will be difficult at times. You will run into speed bumps, detours, distractions, emotional highs, and emotional lows. But if you persist and stay optimistic, you will get there. I'm absolutely sure of it. And in those times that it does become difficult, those times where you do get frustrated and fall back on your needy beliefs, your desire for external validation, where you let yourself become swayed by the whims of others rather than your internal compass, you may feel lost or hopeless. This feeling of hopelessness may last for minutes, hours, or days, but chances are if you push yourself, if you genuinely try to change yourself and reorient how you interact with the world, then you will feel it at some point. And for those times, let me share with you a phrase that has helped me and countless other men through those dire straits. The phrase comes from Dr. Robert Glover in his book No More Mr. Nice Guy, one of the best books I've ever read on men's emotional health and development. The phrase is, what if it is a gift? Whatever happens to you, no matter how bad, no matter how bleak you feel, ask yourself, what if it was a gift? And then try to rationalize a way it could be so. Because see, in the world of emotions, there are no absolutes. You can usually draw whichever conclusions you desire. So why not choose to draw the conclusions of blessings, positivity, and gifts? Ex-girlfriend dumped you and left you for another man? What if it was a gift? Because without her, you would not have been put on this path of self-improvement, and you would have forever been stuck in a relationship full of deceit and no self-awareness. A woman makes fun of your hair and calls you ugly. What if it was a gift? Such a harsh rejection will steal you into becoming more confident in the future, and hopefully will inspire you to reevaluate how you look. Your friends tell you that approaching women is creepy and that you're a loser for wanting to do it. What if it was a gift? It shows you that what you're doing, what you're working on, is pushing social boundaries, is polarizing, and is ultimately making you more controversial and attractive. When I was 19 years old, a friend of mine drowned right in front of me. We were at a party on a lake. One minute he was there, laughing, smiling, and joking, and the next moment he was gone, forever. It was one of the biggest gifts I've ever been given. Not because it was good, it was tragic, but because of how it affected me ever since. Obviously that night was shocking and traumatizing, but I came away from the experience with a keen awareness of how transient this existence is, how any of us can be taken at any moment, how no one is going to live my life for me, and how every second I spend sitting around feeling distant from my true desires, avoiding the world and being afraid to engage it is the second that I'm forfeiting the biggest gift of all, my time here in this life. His death shocked me, depressed me, and scared me, but it scared me into having the courage to take risks, to express myself, to invest in my self-perception more than the perception of others. Because after all, sooner or later this will all disappear, and none of it will matter. So you might as well make the most of it while you're here. And ultimately, that's all I can hope for you. That you make the most of your time here. That you take the tools I've laid out here and go out and forge a unique path for yourself and experience the love and thrills and happiness that this life can reward you. Because that is what life does. It rewards you. It's giving you gifts every day. Are you going to accept them?
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.